It's springtime in gardens all over America. Birds chirp, flowers bloom. The world comes to green life once more in your backyard. But just when you thought it was safe, even before the first dandelion blooms, noxious weeds threaten your delicate flora, strangling, creeping, proliferating like weeds. Will they stop at nothing? Here to untangle this pernicious mess is our own Wyatt Earp against weeds, the Marshall Dillon of dandelions, the natural-born killer of kudzu. Our own doyen of dirt, Ketzel Levine, who joins us from a garden in Portland, Oregon. Ketz, thanks for being with us.
Did somebody stay up all night writing that stuff? Hi, Scott. How are you?
Listen, I'm in a studio. Got no windows, okay? But the kudzu is creeping up my leg. What should I do?
Listen, you think you've got problems. They've sighted kudzu in the Portland area. It's the first sighting west of Texas.
I think of it as kind of a steamy tropical vine. What's it doing there?
Exactly. Well, this is the problem. Kudzu first came to the country, in 1876. Mm-hmm. And people were crazy about it as an ornamental plant. Then they found out that it was tasty for farm animals and useful for erosion control. Anyway, you know, it's eating its way through the Southeast and across the country, which is why we're so amazed that here it is in the Portland area. Now, before we send out the general alarm, it's important to state that there were two sightings of kudzu out here, and the Department of Agriculture does believe that we have eradicated it, at least at those two sites. People are on alert.
All right, we have a bulletin just in, okay? Speaking of alert.
I'm listening.
This just in from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Research Service in Stonefield, Mississippi. Dr. C. Douglas Boyett says that he might have the answer to this kudzu problem in a petri dish. He has in that petri dish a fungus called Myrothecium verrucaria.
They've been working on this fungus for quite a while. In fact, they're talking about making it commercially available in the very near future. Now, when it's ready, it'll be packaged like yeast. In other words, it's going to come in a suspended spore formulation that comes alive with water. And then you spray it on the plant. And evidently, it's been enormously successful in killing kudzu leaves and stems. The problem is, it doesn't work on the kudzu roots, but they're working on that problem.
So it just grows back, right?
Exactly.
Now, what are some of the other, what I'll refer to as problematic weeds, weeds you wouldn't invite to dinner?
Well, they're called noxious weeds, and in fact, there's a federal list of noxious weeds, plants that are big problems across the country and that have been banned in many states. One of the plants at the top of that list is purple loosestrife, which preys on wetlands. It's known as the purple plague. Now, loosestrife is something that we were singing the praises of as a garden plant not all that long ago, and even now, varieties of it are still sold in nurseries. Meanwhile, about two dozen states have listed purple loosestrife as a noxious weed.
What about the reprehensible clary sage?
Have you ever seen a clary sage?
Well, let's not get personal, Ketzel, okay?
Well, it's a great-looking plant. You wouldn't know it was reprehensible. In fact, the first time I saw Salvia scleria was at a public garden in New York. It's a gorgeous plant with long flowering stalks, and it seems to bloom forever. Well, guess what? The clary sage is the newest addition to Washington State's plant quarantine list. In fact, that state's noxious weed list is the longest in the country. It has 111 plants that are now considered noxious weeds.
Goodness gracious. Now, all right, let me ask you about one I have some sense of identity with because I've been called this myself, the common tansy.
Tansy maybe, common never.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear.
Now, that's an interesting case in point. You know, when I first started gardening in upstate New York, my next-door neighbor's favorite foliage plant was tansy. Mm-hmm. Now it turns out it's on the noxious weed list in the states of South Dakota and Colorado. I think the point is, Scott, that plants behave differently in different regions. There is no one really good reason why a plant is manageable, say, on the highways of Oregon and eats the hillsides of Virginia. It's a matter of soil, it's a matter of climate, it's a matter of habitat, and of course, there are no natural predators for a plant that's been moved out of its native environment. And many plants have the potential of being the next kudzu.
When we talk about the trouble people can create, in fact, can they invite some legal hazard? Like if I were to try and grow a common tansy in Colorado and think, hey, who'll notice? Could that, in fact, get me into trouble?
I'm not sure what the regulations are in Colorado per se, but I do know that in Oregon, if you're growing something that's been outlawed and you ignore the first warning or two, you're liable to be fined as much as $10,000.
$10,000 for growing a plant? I mean, it's not like it's hemp or something. It's just a common tansy.
Actually, hemp's on the list, too.
Goodness gracious. All right, I stand corrected. And before I forget, how's the fence doing?
It's super. You can see pictures of it at the website. I'll have a fence-raising party any day.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ketz.
My pleasure.
Ketzel Levine from her garden, or almost fenced-in garden in Portland, Oregon. And you can visit Ketzel at our website. Just go to npr.org and click on Talking Plants. Let the good times roll.